Today's reading is from the letter of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And that can be found on page 976 of the Church Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory.
Might move this forward so I'm a bit not too far back. do keep the Bibles open. We're just going to be looking at the first kind of three verses, so 3 to 6. We'll be referring back to it, so just keep your heads in the text. In 2013, there was a popular Twitter hashtag going around, hashtag blessed. I don't know if you remember it. You didn't have to be religious to use it. It was just a way of kind of making your followers feel a little bit bad about themselves, like you've got a bit of a better life than they have. I've just got my dream job. Hashtag blessed. Getting married to the perfect guy soon, they might say. Hashtag blessed. If you took a picture every day of your life this week and put it on Instagram, how many of those posts would you honestly be able to tag hashtag blessed? Honestly. Do you even feel blessed right now? Do you feel blessed? Maybe you feel as if God's not really blessing you at all. Like, is it actually hard to know what to thank God for in the morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That you can't really think what to thank God for. Well, Paul, the writer of this book that we're reading, Ephesians, he'd be a prime candidate to understand that feeling of, I don't really know what to thank God for. I don't really feel that blessed. As he's writing this book, he's sitting in chains, in prison, for being a Christian. That's why he's there. His life is not Instagram worthy, let me tell you that. He's not looking very hashtag blessed. Sitting in prison, getting eaten by maggots, just not a good look. If that's what being a Christian gets you, the Ephesians were probably thinking, and if that's the if the God that you worship loves you this much, as in not a lot, because you're in prison, I don't want anything to do with that God, thanks. That's what they might be thinking. Is it even worth being a Christian when it looks like we get the opposite of hashtag blessed? Are Christians even blessed at all? Well, when we have this kind of view of God, it can feel like we worship a God who doesn't really care about us or love us or bless us. But today we'll see that even though we may not feel like we're blessed sometimes, we're going to see that Christians really are blessed. You really are. So blessed, in fact, get this, that precisely when you are a Christian is when every single second of your life could be snapshotted and captioned with hashtag blessed. Despite the circumstance, how can we say that? Because the Apostle Paul, who's sitting in his own feces, I don't really like to say it in church, but that's the situation. He's sitting in a Roman prison, rotting away. Well, he can. He can say he's blessed. Imagine Paul taking a selfie there and then as he's writing this book in prison. And he puts on it that picture on Instagram. And incredibly, he's able to caption it with verse 3. And that's the picture that I typed into AI when I said something like Apostle Paul in Roman prison taking a selfie. Look at what he captions it with in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's really amazing what he's saying here, despite the circumstances, isn't it? You might not feel blessed, but you really are. You really are. Look at the middle of verse 3. Middle of verse 3. God, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Sometimes it can just feel like you're just drip-fed a few blessings here and there. But we're told here that in reality, they're pouring down on us like a waterfall. There's so many, every blessing. God's not stingy. As Christians, we never have to say, please, Lord, can I have some more? We never have to say that. We are full to the brim as Christians. God doesn't hold back. He's given us every spiritual blessing, every last one. And this is the thing, this torrent of blessings, like a waterfall, is just drowning us every day. And we don't realize it sometimes, do we? We just don't see it or feel it. Why? Because these blessings are actually things we can't see. We can't see them. Look at the middle of verse 3 again. God, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. They're not physical, earthly blessings, like the perfect spouse or the flashiest house, etc. But we're never promised those things anyway. They're spiritual, heavenly, unseen blessings. That's what he's talking about. And actually, that's great for us, because heavenly blessings are actually blessings that last. We know this from other places in the Bible. Jesus talks about this. You can have all the earthly physical blessings in the world, but flashy cars don't last, do they? Money gets spent. Good times will get boring. Death still exists. But even though spiritual blessings are unseen, they are eternal, aren't they? They are invisible, but they never fade away. And Paul's pleading with us to see that it might not look or feel like you're blessed sometimes, but my goodness, you are blessed. You are not missing out. You've got every blessing worth having. That's the point. Okay. Why? He's being quite big picture, I think, in general. Quite vague as well, a little bit. Why are these blessings something to be excited about? What actually are they? That would be a really good question to answer now, wouldn't it? Well, the whole point of the first half of Ephesians 1, we just heard that read, it's just a few of those blessings that he's talking about from verse 3. We're just going to zoom in on verses 3 to 6 and see one of those amazing blessings today. And this is it. We really are blessed because we really are loved. We really are blessed because we really are loved. Firstly, we were lovingly chosen. Look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him. Do you see that? He chose us. Verse 5. He predestined us. Chose, predestined. To be chosen is to be God's special person forever. You're one of his people. He says about you, you're mine. And by the way, this is not a random choosing. Like when people think about the big scary doctrine of predestination, God's election in this verse, and actually a thousand other places in the Bible, they imagine maybe a bored God on a production line, kind of thoughtlessly sorting, like eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Like him, don't like him. Like her, don't like her. No. Look at the end of verse 4. In love. Is that new to you? In love. In love, he predestined us. Wow. That's amazing. God lovingly looked at you and said, if you're trusting in him, you're mine. I'm never letting you go. I will love you forever. Nobody else can say that, can they? Nobody else can say, I will love you forever. Don't you feel hashtag blessed right now for being chosen? I mean, just being chosen in general is good, right? By the coach of a school football team or by a boss for a promotion, it just makes you feel special. But think about this. For a sinner to be chosen by the creator of all things, I think that's a different ball game, isn't it? The creator God says about sinners who rebel at him and shake their fists at him and are ungrateful sinners like you, like me. He says about those people, I want you. I want you. And I'm never going to let you go. You're mine. That's love. Don't you think? But the God haters that God chose weren't destined to stay that way. We were chosen for change and given a new destiny. We were lovingly chosen, but for a destiny. Look down at verse 4 again. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, see this, that we should be holy and blameless before him. First destiny, holiness. Holiness is just becoming less sinful, more like God. It would be rubbish to be God's very own if we didn't really get along. Think about it. God chooses us to make us more like him, so we like him. Now look at verse 5. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons. Second destiny, adoption as sons. Sons inherit things. That's why it says sons, not sons and daughters. He's making this point. Sons have a relationship to their father that nobody else has. It's special. This is an impossible relationship for us to have without God's intervention. If you think about it, as sinners, the fact is we wouldn't want to be this close to God anyway if he didn't choose us. But God gives us destinies that stop us running away from him and hating him so that we can gladly run into our Father's arms as sons, enabling us not only to be with him forever, but I think to enjoy him forever, right? If you think those things are mind-blowingly good, which they are, definitely, we haven't even got to the most amazing thing yet, I don't think. Look at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you see that? God loved us before time. A billion years ago, a trillion years ago, an infinity years ago, when you were just a twinkle in God's eye, God was daydreaming about you, a sinner. He was daydreaming about sinners who he could save and choose to save. If you trusted in him, he looked at you at some point in eternity past and said, you're going to be my sinless son forever. I'm going to love you no matter what. All before he even decided to make a world. It's one thing to being chosen for a destiny. It's one thing being loved, but there's just something so next level, I think, about being loved and thought about a long time ago. This is love that goes all the way back. It's like a head-over-heels fiancé spending a year writing his wife-to-be a love song. His fiancé isn't just love-struck and overwhelmed by the fact that he's written her a song, although that's very nice. It's the fact that it was a year in the making. This kind of next-level love is love that goes all the way back. It's like the parents who aren't particularly well off, but they always try to get the best for their children. And their children say to them, I don't want to go camping anymore, Daddy. I want to go to Disneyland, like all the other kids. They don't sound like the nicest kids in the world, do they? But the parents still choose to love them anyway. So for the next couple of years, they do extra shifts. They compile every last Tesco voucher. And after a few years, they come up to their children and they say, James, that's me, by the way, here's some tickets to Disneyland. Your destiny awaits. Maybe they didn't say it just like that, but you can see how this links, right? In that moment, and probably now more than in that moment, I realized that my parents really did love me. Not just because they got me tickets, but because they planned this for actually years. So they saved up for years. They got every last little Tesco voucher to save up for it. They were thinking about me for a long time in advance. That's love. Love that goes all the way back is next level love. And God goes 1,000 times back from this, doesn't he, for us. With God, love goes all the way back before he said, let there be light. Before the foundation of the world, before time was even a thing, God loved me. And if you're trusting him this morning, God loved you too. God really does love you. These verses are a promise to that. I think it's really caused me to kind of rethink how I normally think about my salvation. Yes, I received all these blessings, what we read about at the start, when I believed, but God choosing me was not kind of a last minute snap decision. God didn't decide to save me when I grew up in a Christian family. He didn't decide that when I actually prayed the prayer. No, God loved me in a past time that I couldn't even fathom. That's when it started. I think this is love that just hits you right there. Do you know what I mean? Wow, God, so you were daydreaming about me, James Dancer, in eternity past, knowing I'd fall short and I'd sin and I'd repent and I'd sin again, and you still predestined me to be your son. What? There's no love like this? Can I just say personally, this is just one of my go-to assurance of salvation verses. When I've royally mucked up, when I've sinned too much, or I think I've sinned too big, and I think that God doesn't really love me now. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. Yes, he does. Ephesians 1, 3 to 6. He specially selected me. He lovingly chose me, a sinner, before time. Before time began, God does love me. And God loves you. He really does, if you trust in him. Love goes all the way back for us. Don't mishear these verses. As if the universe revolves around you. It doesn't. We are loved. Our timelines are engraved in the fabric of space-time for a wonderful destiny. But here's the thing. The universe actually revolves around God. Just remember that. We really are blessed because we really are loved. So give all the praise to God. So bless God back. The goal of this otherworldly love is that God is maximally praised. Paul makes sure that we don't misunderstand this. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. It's all about him. It's all about God, isn't it? And some of us might naturally think that's an amazing, good thing to want to praise God for everything he's done. But I think some of us maybe rightly might be thinking, well, wait a minute, does this kind of make God a bit of a megalomaniac? A megalomaniac, someone who loves and who's obsessed with their own power. Is that what God is like? Well, no. Briefly, we're just going to see that that is not the case. He isn't, when you fully grasp that God getting all the glory is actually a loving act in itself. It's actually a loving thing for him to do for us. C.S. Lewis, the guy who famously wrote Narnia, he wrote this. We delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. In other words, you can't fully enjoy something until you praise it. Right? You've not fully enjoyed the beauty of your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend until you've told them how beautiful they are. You've not fully enjoyed that TV show until you've told someone just how good it is. Praise is the overflow and completion of your delight in something. Therefore, you can't fully enjoy God until you praise him. So let's remind ourselves, when we get to praise the objectively greatest being in the universe, that's what God is, who God is, we're able to get the objectively greatest joy then in the universe. So when God sets himself up to be praised, it's a loving act. He does that in love. We're able then to experience the greatest joy. That's love. God being at the center of the universe is very good for us. A glad praise around God's throne for what he's done is the future. So what's the response now in the present? Well, it's actually kind of the same response. Look at verse 3, the first two words. Blessed be, praise be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. He blesses us, so we praise him, we bless him back. That's the right response. Can you see how excited Paul is in these verses? How much he's excited about how much God loves his people. And it's an excitement that's completed in praise. I think Paul wants us to pick up some secondhand excitement. An excitement that for us will then lead to full-blown praise of God. God blesses, we bless him back. In other words, I love this. We're hashtag blessed, so we hashtag bless. How can you not bless him back? How can you not praise him at the top of your lungs when we worship and we sing? How can you not praise him in prayer? How can you not say along with Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing? So we want to be people like that, don't we? How can we turn into people like that, who bless God back? Well, the answer is to fully come to terms with how much you're blessed. Just come to terms with it, particularly in these verses, how much God loves you. And the best way to do that is to come back to these verses kind of in the moment when you doubt that God is blessing you. Put these verses to use, to good use. You might just generally be feeling unloved at the moment, but in that moment, I don't know the ins and outs of all of your lives here, you might feel like you really want to be married in that moment, but you aren't right now. You've got a problem with your children. They don't always express that love to you. Or you're a teenager who's not really making friends at school. In that moment, remember that God lovingly chose you before time began. You are loved more than you can ever imagine. Maybe you just feel a little bit directionless in life. What am I doing? You don't really know what to do. Remember that God has a destiny for you, and he lovingly gave that to you. God planned it in eternity past, before there was even such thing as a beginning. You can follow that destiny. This God loves you more than you'll ever know. You might struggle with self-worth, like you're not good enough, or you're not really good enough to be loved, like you feel too much of a sinner, a bad person. Well, this God loves you. He chose to love you. In those moments, get on board with this virtuous circle. The more we grasp God's love, the more confident we'll be in God's love. The more confident we're in God's love, the more we'll praise. The more we praise, the more we'll grasp God's love. Get the picture? How blessed are Christians? Well, we really, really are blessed because we really are loved. His love goes all the way back. Isn't it so amazing and worth it to be a Christian? We're hashtag blessed. So hashtag bless. Bless him back. We're going to have a little bit of time to think about what we've seen in the passage today. And then Philip is going to come pray for us.